From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God.
Oh, listen to you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
No, listen to your voice.
Oh, I know that. I was
drinking Drano?
No, I was listening to the Republican debate.
You like Harvey Firestone.
I was listening to the Republican debate, and I was yelling at the flat screen.
It's me, Ed the Turnblad.
Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Young Bill,
yes,
has got, or is just getting over, laryngitis.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing.
Give me another pack of smokes.
Yeah, you hold a little thing next to your voice and makes you sound like Stephen Hawking.
It's the old Dennis Leary routine where he says, basically, does he go up to a fast food restaurant and he's like, stop making fun of me. I'm not making fun of you. No, shut up. You know, you shut up.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome
terrible.
To the Bill Show, episode number 126. Talk a little bit more often than not,
yes,
just in order to save Bill's pipes, because he's sounding a bit like drinking Drano.
I'm a little bit hoarse.
Yeah, he's a bit hoarse. Yeah, which end, I'll never know. But
that's what I said when I had a Shetland.
We're calling it our master debate show, because it is just all about the debates. It's all about what's been going on in America. Mm. The GOP debates, all 17 potential GOP candidates.
If you could actually crystallize bullshit into a way in which could be impacted into one sporting arena in one time,
that'd be it, Cleveland.
That'd be it,
and,
man.
And, you know, this is irony alert, ladies and gentlemen. Irony alert.
Yep.
They didn't allow anybody to take guns in.
No, what a bummer that
is. You couldn't take a gun into the arena in Cleveland, Ohio.
You're for Scott Walker, are you?
Yeah, well.
You like my dog. Hey, listen, let me give you, I was listening to the debate, and I swear to God, this came to me. So I did a little something here. This is the opening of the debate, and I particularly love Megyn Kelly and all the guys.
Is this the happy hour debate, or the main event?
This is how the debate opened, I'm telling you. This is how the debate opened.
Kelly. Yeah.
Can I?
Let's have a look.
This is a cut of the way the debate opened.
So the candidates are all right behind that curtain, and they
say we bring them out.
Are about to come out. Why don't we bring them out? Would you like to see the candidates? Let's do it. And here they come. Stand by. Come on out, guys. Do you think they're coming back? Is it coming up with their game plan back there? You know, we have our game plan.
Yeah, maybe they're conferring with each other.
Yeah, come on out. We're going to begin. We're just going to shout out the names. With Ohio Governor, you may be familiar with him, John Kasich. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Walter Matthau. Sally Fields. Charlie Weaver, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Wally Cox, Nanette Fabre, Jan Murray, Van Johnson,
retired neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie,
and Buddy Hackett, all in the Hollywood Square.
Oh, Bill, you're just so... That actually was very funny.
I'm very much looking forward to Buddy Hackett's platform on guns.
Shapoopy, 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 the girl that you can yet kiss.
I think 17 potential candidates.
I know.
Has there ever been as wide a field as that?
But it's also like, to me, that what I saw the other night was the biggest... percentage bullshit per inch game show I have ever seen in my life. It was like a tacky game
they
show.
Had to have two. Like, it would, they supposedly they were supposed to cut off at 10 and the rest of you can fuck off.
Yeah,
but instead they had this, what did they call it? The happy hour debate.
The happy hour debate.
Which was like, for which 10 people turned up.
You saw it.
Somebody turned the camera around, and there was a cleaner sweeping between the aisles.
I'm sunny, man. I don't know what they're talking about. It was like humiliating.
Yeah, it's
like,
sunny in Cleveland.
When the applause for that first debate came on, it was like this. And a guy, you know, sweeping in the back.
Yeah,
know?
Look, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe 17 pieces. Yeah. And I'm surprised that Carly Fiorina was, and the two Ricks, who was in the lower?
Carly Fiorina evidently did very well in the first debate, but who cares, really? Yeah. The cleaning guy went, I'll tell you something,
but you know,
she's
only,
very good.
Well, she has an Italian name.
Yeah.
On only 2 points did everybody not agree. Donald Trump said, I would not court the Koch brothers.
Yes,
and
he didn't need to.
And I think Ben Carson said, "I would not entertain a flat tax." But other than that, they're all the same.
Maybe some differences down the line. Let me tell you a little bit about why Fox is going to do this again. A record-setting. Get this, 24 million people tuned into Fox on Thursday.
24 million.
24 million. In terms of total viewers, the debate was the highest-rated non-sports cable telecast of all fucking time.
That's amazing.
According to Nielsen data, with this staggering viewership, shattering expectation of what was already a highly anticipated event, the telecast also made history for Fox. Jesus Christ. He's an evil genius, Roger Ailes. It was the most highly rated broadcast of the network's 20-year history, according to CNN Money. The debate had a Nielsen-metered market household rating of 16.0. By contrast, the Women's World Cup Final and NBA Finals drew 15.2 and 13.9, respectively.
What's the Women's World Cup Final, like Double D? Sorry.
You can't help yourself, can you?
What, on Fox?
Yeah, that's right.
On Fox.
Yeah. All right. Good point. Yeah, all right. It's the Double D final.
And then there's a
huge, massive nipples. You know, if Fox could make nipples run for president, they would.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then her nipples. Yeah. Even see the bearded woman. See the naked man.
And they'd still put the black squares over them.
Right. Make your presidential election decision on who gets nuclear codes into a fucking freak show.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is actually a tape, a compilation that I did.
Oh, of the
debate.
The master debaters.
Yeah. So this is like a compilation of the bullshit. Down to about 6 minutes.
A compilation? That's a great
idea. It's a compilation of bullshit. For about 6 minutes. And I believe when I decided I would soundtrack it with something that give it the respect that it was due, Mr. Benny Hill did come to mind. Here it is.
Oh, Yakety Sax.
The GOP Celebrity Squares Debate.
We have a president who doesn't have a clue. I would say he's incompetent, but I don't want to do that because that's not nice.
I think God has blessed us. He's blessed the Republican Party with some very good candidates. The Democrats can't even find one.
I'm the only one that leads Hillary Clinton in 5 states that were won by President Obama. I'm a different kind of Republican.
I'm the only one to separate Siamese twins, the only one to operate on babies while they were still in the mother's womb, the only one to take out half of a brain, although you would think if you go to Washington that someone had beat me to it.
It seems like this election has been a whole lot about a person who's very high in the polls, but doesn't have a clue about how to govern, a person who has been filled with scandals and who could not lead. And, of course, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton.
A bit about terror and national security. Governor Christie, you have said that Senator Paul's opposition to the NSA's collection of phone records has made the United States weaker and more vulnerable, even going so far as to say that he should be called before Congress to answer for it if we should be hit by another terrorist attack. Do you really believe you can assign blame to Senator Paul just for opposing the bulk collection of people's phone records in the event of a terrorist attack?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm the only person on this stage who's actually filed applications under the Patriot Act, who have gone before the federal, the Foreign Intelligence Service Court, who has prosecuted and investigated and jailed terrorists in this country after September 11th. I was appointed U.S. Attorney by President Bush on September 10th, 2001, and the world changed enormously the next day. And it happened in my state. This is not theoretical to me. I went to the funerals. We lost friends of ours in the Trade Center that day. My own wife was two blocks from the Trade Center that day at her office, having gone through it that morning. When you actually have to be responsible for doing this, you can do it, and we did it for 7 years in my office, respecting civil liberties and protecting the homeland. And I will make no apologies ever for protecting the lives and the safety of the American people. We have to give more tools to our folks to be able to do that, not fewer, and then trust those people and oversee them to do it the right way. As president, that is exactly what I'll do.
Megan, may I respond?
Go ahead, sir.
I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from innocent Americans. The Fourth Amendment was what we fought the revolution over. John Adams said it was the spark that led to our war for independence. And I'm proud of standing for the Bill of Rights, and I will continue to stand for the Bill of Rights.
And Megan, that's a... That, you know, that's a completely ridiculous answer. I want to collect more records from terrorists, but less records from other people. How are you supposed to know, Megan?
Use the Fourth Amendment.
How are you supposed
to?
No, I'll tell you how you.
Get a warrant.
Let me tell you something.
Get a judge to sign a warrant.
Senator.
Go ahead, wait, Governor Christie, make your point.
Listen, Senator. You know, when you're sitting in a subcommittee just blowing hot air about this, you can say things like that. When you're responsible for protecting the lives of the American people, then what you need to do is to make sure. Is to make sure that
Here's
you use the,
problem,
the system
Governor.
The way it's supposed
Here's
to work.
Here's the problem, Governor. You fundamentally misunderstand the Bill of Rights. Every time you did a case, you got a warrant from a judge. I'm talking about searches without warrants, indiscriminately of all Americans' records, and that's what I fought to end. I don't trust President Obama with our records. I know you gave him a big hug, and if you want to give him a big hug again, go right ahead.
And you know, Senator Paul, you know, the hugs that I remember are the hugs that I gave to the families who lost their people on September 11th. Those are the hugs I remember. And those had nothing to do, with politics, unlike what you're doing by cutting speeches on the floor of the Senate, then putting them on the internet within a half an hour to raise money for your campaign,
right,
and while still putting our country at risk.
All right, we're going to cut it off there.
Done.
We have plenty more we want to get to.
I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. I cannot say I have to respect the person that, if it's not me, the person that wins.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
It was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure. And honestly, Megan, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you have treated me, but I wouldn't do that. Because our leaders are stupid. Our politicians are stupid. And the Mexican government is much smarter, and they send the bad ones over because they don't want to pay for them. They don't want to take care of them. And I said, we need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly. And I don't mind having a big, beautiful door in that wall so that people can come into this country legally. But we need, Jeb, to build a wall. We need to keep illegals out. We have a president who doesn't have a clue. I would say he's incompetent, but I don't want to do that because that's not nice. I have never gone bankrupt, by the way. I have never. But out of hundreds of deals, out of hundreds and hundreds of deals, four times I've taken advantage of the laws, and frankly, so has everybody else in my position.
When did you actually become a Republican?
I don't think they like me very much.
Yeah, it's a clown show, baby.
It certainly is. And I'm saying, we've got to listen to 176 more days of this shit.
No, we love it.
176 more days of this shit.
anything.
Until the Iowa caucus.
Anything sounds good with Benny Hill attached to it.
Yeah, why don't we just have a button? We could either do Benny Hill or, the Three Stooges or, the thing that your friend Alfred Hitchcock used to.
You just need a Benny Hill button, really. I got to say, there was one thing. I got to say, one policy thing that I actually agreed with.
You said that.
Yeah, I did, actually, is Rand Paul. You get fucking Christie. And by the way, Christie is the lowest form of political skunk shit.
Yeah.
He is a vile little
boy. He'd climb over his own mother's dead body to get to
absolutely. And people in New Jersey fucking hate him. And
60%.
What, 70%.
Unapproval. Oh, unapproval.
70% were of the people that responded to a certain poll that I read the other day said that they preferred not Chris Christie be president of the United States.
But they preferred he wouldn't be governor of New Jersey.
Oh, absolutely. I got a little tape. I'm going to play everyone a little bit later. It shows you how popular he is in New Jersey. But the thing is, he's playing the Rudy Giuliani card.
Yes.
You know, Rudy's not there to go, 9-11,
prostate cancer.
Rand Paul actually called him on it and said, use the fucking Bill of Rights. Use the Fourth Amendment. Yeah, get a warrant.
You can have as many people's records as you want.
And I was sitting there alone going, Yeah, he's right. You know, I mean, these people like Christie and Trump, they don't give a fuck about the Constitution. They don't give a fuck about anything. They don't give a fuck about you.
Oh, did you know? And all that your friend, the retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson, could talk about is the fact that he operated on people. He's never been an elected official. I have separated Siamese twins. I have operated on people's brains. I'm going, is this a political statement?
What does that qualify you to be president of the United States?
I don't know. I'm still waiting for him to be qualified to do anything.
There were all these things, these people. I remember when I was an actor in New York, and you always had offer you scripts occasionally when you're first starting out. And a lot of the small theaters would take scripts from, like, really rich people, like dentists, who really kind of wanted to be in theater, but they had no talent for it at all. That's Ben Carson with politics. Yeah. He's like a vanity campaign for him, you know. He's like, look, honey, I'm a presidential candidate. I don't get that guy at all. But you know what he came away with? God, Trump's a pig.
Yes, but the thing is, he's got brand recognition like Hillary Clinton. He has brand recognition, and he could actually go up there and continue.
Well, I'll tell you something. There was something that was overheard at the national debate. Was Jeb Bush actually turned to his corner, and I think all the other candidates are kind of scared of him because they left the microphone on, and Jeb Bush turned to Huckabee, and he said this.
I'm the keeper of the cheese, and you're the lemon merchant. You get it? And he knows it. That's why he's gonna kill us. So we gotta beat it. Yeah. Before he lets loose the marmosets on us. Don't worry, little Missy. I'll save you. You! We're not hitchhiking anymore.
Evidently, Randall, that was Jeb Bush sucking.
No, that was Ren and Stimpy, and you are such a child. You are a constant source of amusement to yourself.
I think Jeb is losing it, man.
He'll find you before he finds himself. Jeb Bush.
The idea of Donald Trump releasing the marmosets.
George III, I think, will not be able to prepare. They're going to bring up all the dirt, all the hanging chads. All that stuff. I don't think that Jeb Bush is going to win the Republican
nomination. It's like you saw the debate, and he just came off looking really lame. I mean, it was
genetic.
Yeah, no, but I mean, usually he comes off as kind of like that corporate uncle that you know. Last night, he looked pale.
Look, he smoked in college and inhaled and dealt.
Listen, I was listening to Rachel Maddow the other day, and Rachel basically had...
I'd turn for her.
She'd turn for you.
No. I'd become a lesbian for Rachel Maddow.
I would, too. We love our Rachel. And Rachel had a very good point on Trump, and I want you to listen to this.
I hope that doesn't get bad.
I want you to listen to this and respond to it, Randy, because I thought she made the best point that I've heard for a very long time about the Republican Party with Trump in the contest. So listen to this. I want your take on this. I want the Randall take.
You're going to get it. The real Randall take. Here it comes. I'm locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
So I have a possible explanation for what otherwise looks like an inexplicable thing in presidential politics right now. It's pretty simple. Here's how it goes. This weekend, when NBC and Marist polled New Hampshire and Iowa, Republican voters, again, in those states, said they loved them some Donald Trump. Mr. Trump was way out ahead in New Hampshire, and he was a very close second to Scott Walker in Iowa. But the pollsters at NBC and Marist did not just ask Republican voters, who do you like for president? They also asked them one crucial follow-up, which I think maybe kind of explains everything. They asked them this: which is more important to you, a Republican nominee for president who shares your positions on most issues, or a Republican nominee for president who has the best chance of winning the White House? In both Iowa and in New Hampshire, by a 2-to-1 margin, Republican voters said they want a nominee for president who they agree with rather than one who can win. 67% of Republicans say that in Iowa, 67% of Republicans say that in New Hampshire. And so, yeah. It otherwise looks like this conundrum, right? Donald Trump loses not only to Hillary Clinton in general election matchups. He would lose to Bernie Sanders if he made it to the general election. But Republican voters do not care. They want their Donald Trump.
Yes, they want their Donald
Trump. I want my maple.
Now, that, for me as a Democrat, my reaction is, great. That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. But tell me, why is this, what's going on in the Republican Party?
I'm surprised. Usually people want a Republican candidate who could win. For 67% of them to say they want a Republican candidate that they agree with out of a field of 17, heaven help them.
Well, it's this nihilism that's taken over the Republican Party. And I think that if you're somebody like an establishment Republican, like one of the Bushes or, you know, Scott Walker, you got to watch out, man, because you've created this Frankenstein's monster. And it's, by the way, it's not just Trump that's narcissistic, a complete sociopathic, narcissistic asshole.
I thought you were talking about Ted Cruz just then.
No, I'm talking about the people in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
They're narcissistic assholes.
Well, let's hear some.
I want to play for you some of the people who are sitting there saying why they like to put the nuclear codes for this nation in the hands
of a man with a bad comb over
of Donald Trump.
Oh yes, this. I was going to say when I heard this, I thought it was fake.
No, it's not fake.
No. Let me just say when you first played this to me, I thought it was a setup. I thought they've got a bunch of actors in the room.
Yeah.
And told them to say these ridiculous things, you know, like, I thought this was an SNL sketch.
No.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please, you're not going to believe it, but this is real.
This is real, and it's very disturbing. Here it is from Bloomberg Politics. This is why voters in New Hampshire.
A Republican focus group in New Hampshire.
Like Trump.
He says it like it is. He speaks the truth.
And what truth is that?
When he talks about especially immigration control and the border, he doesn't care what people think. He tells the truth, what we need to do.
John?
Yeah, I think he's probably, whether it's the truth or not, I think he tells you the way he feels.
He's not going to be, like he said, I won't be bought off. Whereas anybody else, don't have the money, will be, you know, have that chance of being bought off.
A little Reagan-esque comes to mind. It's just tough. We need someone tough.
Yeah, you can see why I thought it was a joke. He just tells it like it is. He's going to be tough. He tells it like it is about immigration, you know?
Dumber.
They're all rapists.
Dog shit.
Yeah.
Too stupid to breathe air.
Yeah, anyway.
I mean, how can you literally sit there and say that the most honest person that you can think of is Donald Trump?
You're fired.
Really, seriously. Yeah. That's why America continues to be the funniest fucking country in this whole fucking world.
Now. You don't want people coming out and saying...
No, bullshit. There is a percentage of people in America who are as dumb as fucking toast and deserve what they
listen,
get.
Hey, listen, my mother buried a pig's head in the backyard.
Yeah.
Because she'd been told everybody in the town was doing it so that Muslims couldn't buy property in Santa Barbara. So you don't tell me that there's not stupid people in America.
I'm telling you there are stupid people in America.
Oh, you are, too.
They just fucking piss me off. You know, I'm thinking, you know what pisses me off? It's not the fact that Donald Trump is an opportunistically, you know, he's a sociopathic opportunist.
Yeah.
with the fact that so many of you fucking Republicans of the Republican Party are insane.
Yeah, they believe
in him. You're fucking insane.
But you know what, Bill?
They think that you can stop this by turning the fucking southern border of the country into Gaza. You know what I mean?
Well, with the big wall.
Oh, fuck me. Jesus Christ.
Okay. What I believe is Donald Trump is going to keep, he's the bull in the china shop.
Yeah.
They're going to gang up on him and give the nomination to somebody else. He's going to do a Ross Perot, go independent, and split the Republican Party.
I think that, you know, I really think that to happen. I think it's going to happen is the fact that, you know what Donald Trump does for a living? He flips properties. Mm-hmm. His property right now is the Republican base. And he is going to extort from the Republican Party establishment either money or some sort of position to give it up. He's not giving
up the nomination.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's blackmailing the only other party that we have in the country. Because I don't think for a minute Donald Trump really wants to be president of the United States. He's having too much fun making too much money doing this shit.
Yeah, but the point is that there have been people like that who've been president before in the past. So why wouldn't he want to just see if I can do it? See if I can do it. You know, I sold my apartment to a Chinese person for $15 million. Chinese gave me $15 million for my apartment.
Do I not like him?
Yeah. Am I going to say no just because they're Chinese? No.
You know the Mexicans? They're rapists.
And they go all the way back to the Middle East.
And that's who these people are talking about. This is the percentage of the Republican Party agree with him. Now, those people who say that he's honest, fuck you. Donald Trump, this is off of Reuters, and I got this today. Donald Trump, the empire that he owns, is staking his run in the United States basically to protect the American job. But this month, one of his companies, the elite Mar-a-Lago Club Resort in Florida, one of the most beautiful resorts in fucking Florida.
Yeah, and they got his own boat.
It's a fucking fantastic resort. Very stylish. Yeah, yeah. It's not a loser resort like those other loser resorts. It's a fucking class resort.
It's got my name on it.
It's got my name on it. Applied to import 70 foreign workers to serve as cooks, wait staff, and cleaners. Are you telling me, Mr. Trump, that you couldn't find wait staff in America? No, he's getting low-rent people from overseas to work in his fucking establishments while he runs around playing the race card with every dumbass Republican from here to San Jose.
Thank you, Donald Trump.
I know this is a
few. Oh, Mike Huckabee, Jesus's candidate.
Jesus's candidate.
Mike Huckabee's running for Jesus.
I'm going to ask for a little news thing. Can I have a news thing, please?
Fix it. Can we have the Fix It in Post Orchestra?
Fix It in Post News Theme Orchestra. Here it is. That's our news theme, Randall, as you know. And these are some of the other
breaking
stories.
Breaking news.
Breaking farts. Yeah. This is some of the stuff that has come through on the. That's right. Mike Huckabee, in the last 2 weeks, said that he won't rule out using federal troops to stop abortions. I kid you not. I will not pretend there is nothing we can do to stop this. GOP presidential candidate Mike Huckabee is open to the idea of using federal troops and the FBI to stop women from having abortions. I will not pretend that there is nothing we can do to stop this, Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas and outspoken social conservative, said Thursday at a campaign stop in Jefferson, Iowa. Huckabee addressed abortion again at his stop in Rockwell City, Iowa, where a reporter asked him whether stopping abortion means using federal troops or the FBI. And he said,
"We'll see if I get to be president," Huckabee said, according to the Topeka Capital Journal. "All American citizens should be protected." So he's granting American citizenship to fetuses.
To fetuses now. On Twitter, journalist Matt Diaby said he had asked Huckabee the abortion question, and he tweeted, "I just asked Huckabee if that meant that he would send the FBI or National Guard to close down abortion clinics. He said, 'We'll see when I'm president.'" Now, this is
pick a box. Yeah.
This is one of my favorites. That's actually the Hillary Clinton retort.
Yeah. You want to find out? You got to pay to see my cards. Yeah.
Now, Chris Christie, who runs around saying that he is absolutely probably the best man to be president, but also a fantastic man as a governor. And he's constantly boasting about his work as governor of New Jersey. But Christie had a harsh welcome when he was presenting award at the Haskell Invitational Horse Race. This is the sound of the crowd when he was introduced at the Haskell Invitational horse race in New Jersey, Randall. This is an actual recording from a phone at the site. Here it is.
You're not ever gonna be president, boo!
Oh, Jesus. You know, I think the New
Jersey. You fat fuck, Chris Christie. Just go away.
The people of New Jersey kind of know how to tell you when you suck.
Yeah, they should know.
And also on the wire, folks, yes, we were praying for this. According to
Politico. Well, the Mormons were.
Yes, the Mormons were. According to Politico, individuals close to Mitt Romney say that he's become open again to the idea. Who opened that door?
Oh, God, please, Bishop Romney, close it. Moroni is going to come and
God.
Put a curse on you.
They opened the idea of running for president in recent days. The reason they say is that he sees a weak GOP field. Well, actually, he's right about that.
Yeah.
What do you
think? 17 weaklings.
17.
Yeah.
In particular, Romney reportedly thinks Jeb Bush would get wrecked by his business dealings with Lehman Brothers, Barclays, and private equity firms. Talk about the pot and the kettle.
Yeah.
Romney has reportedly talked to a casino magnate. You know, the people who employ Republican candidates. The casino magnate, Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah.
Who sat there and I don't know. I'm going to have a glass of tea.
He pumped tens of millions of dollars in the Newt Gingrich's campaign against Romney in 2012.
Now, according to one executive who met with Romney, he does not think much of the current field and does not think it is gelling. He still views himself as a leader of the establishment wing of the Republican Party. He does not feel he owes the Bushes anything and does not think Jeb is the de facto leader of the establishment GOP.
George III, or Jebbo, is not going to get anywhere. He is dumber than dishwater. He's dumber than number two.
I don't think he's dumb.
I think the father got all the brains.
I think that he came off, as long as people like Christie and Trump are really making it so difficult for oxygen for any of the candidate, and as long as the crazy people own the asylum, people like Jeb Bush are in trouble. Because they're just not going to be able to rise.
Well, they can't get above. They can't get cut through the noise.
No, they can't. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jesus wants me to run. I'm Jesus's candidate. That's what Huckabee said. That.
What kind of ego is that, man?
Yeah. I asked Jesus about everything about being president.
You know who wants to run me for president? The Son of God.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
That's it.
He told me.
He's my bestie. Jesus is my co-pilot, and when I let go of the wheel, I cry. Crashed.
Okay. In the saner parts of presidential politics, let's go to Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders is narrowing the gap with Hillary Clinton.
Did you see the
look in the Granite State?
Tonight, before you go,
yeah,
I was watching Bernie watch the debates, and the look on his face, you've heard the term jaw dropping.
I know, yeah.
Bernie's like, he just looked like the bottom of his face fell off. He was so aghast.
And I'll tell you what he's thinking. He's thinking they call me an extremist. I mean, Jesus, look at these people. These people barely learned how to walk erect this morning.
Yeah.
But Bernie Sanders is closing in on Hillary Clinton, according to new polling from New Hampshire.
And he's already ahead of Donald Trump, even.
Absolutely. And if Trump runs the Republican Party, both Hillary and Bernie would defeat him.
Yeah.
In a WMUR University of New Hampshire poll released Tuesday, the Vermont senator is in a statistical tie, Jesus, with the Democratic front runner, trailing her by 6 percentage points, which is just within the poll's margin of error. Among Democratic voters surveyed, 36% responded that they would vote for Sanders, while 42% said Clinton. Sanders leads Clinton in likability. It's not hard. if Hillary needs to get the broom out of her ass.
Yeah.
And start showing
or stop riding it around.
Yeah, well, you know, she can't do that. Yeah. She can be approachable, but the last few speeches, she's just so wooden. And whether or not the candidate best represents Democrats like themselves. Now, the weakness on Hillary's campaign has opened up an opportunity, said the New York Times. Joe Biden is sitting.
The Joe Biden?
Yes.
The Joseph Biden, the vice president?
The vice president of the United States is said to be taking a new look at a presidential run. Vice President Joseph R. Biden and his associates. Have have begun to actively explore a possible presidential campaign, which would upend the Democratic field and deliver a direct threat to Hillary Clinton. Several people who have spoken to Biden or his closest advisors have said this. Mr. Biden's advisors have started to reach out to Democratic leaders and donors who have not yet committed to Mrs. Clinton and who have grown concerned. Oh, dear. About what they see as her increasingly visible vulnerabilities as a candidate.
Vulnerabilities? Is there ties to financial institutions and prisons?
That's why Bernie...
Is that vulnerable?
I think Bernie Sanders is showing her to be an incredibly vulnerable candidate.
Yeah?
Because Bernie's sitting there saying, look, man, look at the people who are... We did shows on
it. Yeah, you're right.
We did the last show.
Yeah, the last show was all about who's in her camp.
Now, let's look a
her
little...
Her camp looks like a scout jamboree with so many people.
Yes, it is. Should we look at the poll numbers very quickly?
I would like to, yeah.
All right, let's do that. All right, we're going to have a look at the poll
numbers.
Oh, you're
going to play a track, weren't you?
Yeah. Sorry. No, we're running late. Let's go with that.
Yeah, we are running late.
Yeah,
but this is a great show. I'm really enjoying it, even though
show,
so I'm
but
sorry.
You've got the rant in a minute.
Yeah, I've got a rant, but I'm sorry your voice isn't really well. But
yeah, well, I'm going to rest it in just a minute. As soon as I tell you the national numbers, according to Real Clear Politics, folks, Trump.
Oh,
my God.
The Donald.
The Donald's at 24.3%. I hate you fucking all. 12.5% for Bush, 9.5% for Walker, 6.8% for Huckabee, 5.8% for Cass, and De Cruz, 5.5%. Rubio, hello, Lucy, 5.3%. Rand Paul, 4.5%. Christie, 3.5%. Kasich, 2.8%. Perry, 1.8%. Santorum, 1.5%. Fiorina, 1.3%. Jindal, 1.3%. And Graham, 0.5%.
Oh, Lindsay.
Poor Lindsay. And
I wonder if anybody called his mobile number.
Yeah, no. Get me out of here.
Yes, I've got a round trip ticket on the streetcar named Desire.
No one likes me. And the final poll, the Democratic presidential nomination. This is a average of all national polls. Clinton sitting pretty at 55.4%. Sanders nudging 20%, 19.7%. Biden 12.8%. Webb 2.1%. O'Malley 1.4%. And 0.9% for Chafee. That gives Clinton a 35.7% advantage on all comers in the Democratic race.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, can I just say, we've got a year and a half of this shit.
Yeah.
A year and a half of this shit.
You want to spend it with us?
Well, no, that's all the more opportunities for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
A year and a half to the election, 176 days to the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's not like we're going to have, you know... a lack of material.
Oh no! This is what I live for. It really is.
This is where we started.
This is where we started. Well, listen, we're going to take a little bit of a break now. We wanted to basically both of our comedic bits are from Jon Stewart, who last show this week.
It's who's going to fill that gap?
No one.
That man has been there now for 11 years.
Yeah,
and he redefined political comedy. He redefined political commentary.
He did. He did.
You know, admittedly, it started on the Comedy Channel, and everybody thought, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
No. Jon Stewart, I mean, the president came to see him.
That's right.
Mohammed came to the mountain. No, I shouldn't say that. It's a bit racist. People knew that Jon Stewart's opinion and his show and the people who watched his show were the ones that set the tone of the debate.
Absolutely. And that's kind of like when Carson did that too. I mean, where Carson was always viewed as kind of like a public utility. Yeah. You know, you'd go home and you watch Carson, you knew what happened today. Mm. And as the
same with your friend from who's just finished as well, Letterman.
Yeah, absolutely, Letterman. But I think I totally agree with you, man. This guy is a legend.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
I don't know about the
Bill Show.
Yeah,
we'll try our best. We're not
South African's going to do the one that's taking over. But I'm just thinking, you know, that guy was just. It's going to create a huge vacuum.
It is. Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to start in with a cut. This is his last show in which he dealt with Fox.
Yeah, his arch nemesis.
Adios, motherfuckers! Yeah. So here he is, the immortal and absolutely amazing Jon Stewart. And we'll be back in just a moment with Randy's Rant.
Randy's Rant!
Educate. Syncopates. Radio communicates. Radio.
music.
I was going to tell you about my weekend. I got home from church around 3. Or, you know, whatever time it is the church is let out. And my kids were in the TV room watching Fox News. Because you know, I don't have time to teach them morality. And I walk in on this.
Jon Stewart's secret meetings with President Obama tries to explain away his bromance with Barack Obama. Does this dent his halo a bit?
He has become more and more and more a tool, really, of the Obama administration.
It looks like he's getting spun like everybody else.
If you serve a politician's ideological agenda, you are a propagandist.
Hey, they're talking about me! I'm gonna be famous. Hey, you know, one thing I saw in that whole report there is they didn't seem to support their assertions with evidence. You like to nail me as a propagandist. You could have just shown a clip of me shamelessly pimping for some signature policy like Obamacare.
We're gonna do a challenge. I'm gonna try and download every movie ever made. And you're gonna try and sign up for Obamacare, and we'll see which happens first. I won't miss me. Bit of a dick. But, okay, that one didn't work out. But to your point of me being an administration stooge, maybe you could have done this. Okay, demonstrate my fealty and consistent suck-up-a-tude with the president. That's a great way to make your case. That's a way to do it.
Jon Stewart now mocking President Obama over the Libyan assassination situation.
Sebelius went on Jon Stewart, got destroyed by Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart grilling House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi about the botched healthcare.gov rollout.
Jon Stewart actually mocking the Obama reelection announcement.
Jon Stewart goes sour on President Obama.
Even Jon Stewart's been hammering at this.
Even Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart went after President Obama.
Even Daily Show host Stewart.
Even Comedy Central's Jon Stewart.
If he's lost Jon Stewart, I'm just saying.
What? What are you saying? What happens? Lost Jon Stewart. By the way, how often does a dude have to criticize the president before his name legally changes from even Jon Stewart to, unsurprisingly, Jon Stewart? All right, none of that stuff worked in proving it, but that's not the end of your search here, Howard and other guy whose name escapes me on the show. Here's what you could have done. Okay, to prove improper collusion, find a memo from me to the president, giving the president advice about my area of expertise, communication. Like me advising him that Americans will only be patient with the war on terror if they're convinced the president is using the harshest measures possible. That wasn't me. All right. I'm sorry. That was Fox News Chairman Roger Ailes to President Bush. I'm sorry. No, that's the balance part. I should have watched rehearsal. I over and over again, I wrongly believe that I am helping Howard Kurtz with his case against me, and yet I apparently seem to be doing the opposite. I've got one. Oh, this one is going to blow your motherfucker. Mine. This one, Fox. This one is gonna make your case dead to rights. Okay, imagine me on air being taught by a Democratic operative as to the proper way to frame an important issue. Not to clarify that issue, but to give it a decidedly advantageous partisan spin. This will be good.
If you call it a public option, the American people are split. If you call it the government option, the public is overwhelmingly against it.
You know what? It's a great point, and I'm from now on all going to call it the government option.
All right, no, wait. Okay, that's up. That guy's a tool. That doesn't matter. All right. It's not like anybody in a position of editorial or moral authority at Fox was caught in this damning political collusion by an astute media critic.
Bill Salmon, Fox's vice president and Washington managing editor, issued a memo telling the troops, let's not slip back into calling it the public option. Please use the term government-run health insurance or, when brevity is a concern, government option whenever possible. And the troops fell into line.
I f***ed up again.
I'm just playing around with you guys. Your hypocrisy isn't a bug in the Fox model. It's the feature. Your job is to discredit any source of criticism that might hurt the conservative brand by angrily holding them to standards you yourselves jettisoned in your news network's mission statement. But I'd be happy to listen if you make an actual argument. My hunch is this show's been harder on the Obama administration and this president per capita than you ever were in your 8 years of Bush finger banging. No. I imagine you won't get around to verifying that, since you're probably still working on getting back to us about those 50 Fox lies in 6 seconds we tossed up a while ago. Oh, and one more question. How's it motherfucking taste? We'll be right back.
Inside the vehicle, because now it's time for Randy's Rant.
Randy's Rant. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's me. Buenos dias, motherfuckers. Just bookend our good friend John Stewart. I've got I'm really angry right now.
No, you can't be.
No, stop. Beryl, save your voice. Let me rant. Okay. I'm really cross. Right now in America, there is the biggest snow job going on, and the wool is being, more wool is being pulled over the American general public's eyes than all the fleece in Scotland. I'm telling you, there are some real mistruths going on, and it's about Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood is one of the oldest social organizations in America, started, gosh, going way back to the 20s. Okay, and one of the people who founded Planned Parenthood, guess who it is?
Who?
George W. Bush's grandfather.
George W. Bush's grandfather?
Jeb Bush's grandfather.
Oh, my God.
George H.W. Bush's...
Prescott Bush.
Yeah, was a father, was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood. Okay, so that's neither here nor there. It can still change its spots. But there are people going on and on. These are like the people that stand out in front of women's health clinics with plastic fetuses around their necks and throw blood on people going in, women going in who are at a very stressful and difficult time in their lives. Now, America, if they took Planned Parenthood a little more seriously, and especially sex education, they might not have to rely so much on Planned Parenthood to keep their daughters and wives healthy and disease and pregnancy free. Now, this makes you really cross. Somebody put out these heavily edited videos.
Complete bullshit.
Complete bullshit videos about them selling body parts. Fetus body parts for stem cell research or whatever research. Now, for a start, Planned Parenthood is not about terminations of pregnancy. Planned Parenthood is about women's health. Okay? The percentage that they do of abortions is 3% of their business. 3%. 35% is contraception, which is a woman's right to choose whether she gets pregnant or not. It is her right. 34% testing and treatment for STDs and infections, usually passed on by men like cervical cancer. That brings us to the other 17%, which is the cancer screening and prevention, including mammograms and cervical cancer. 10% other women's health services, like genital reconstruction after mutilation and things like that. And 1% for other services, which are just too little to mention. 3%! Now, yes, they do offer fetal material to researchers with the express written permission of the woman having the termination.
And that's who they thought they were talking about. They were talking to Rick.
Yeah.
These people lied about who they were, by the way.
Yeah, they're saying that there's some sort of a business or a market in fetal body parts. There is not.
They were. Do you mind if I just raise my hand? Because I looked for their website. It's brand new. Yeah. Center for Medical Progress. This is a bunch of right wing extremists who threw these things together and edited them to make everybody look bad.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what
they are. It's just bullshit. It's like, it's like if you cut, and it was such a bad editing job, too.
Oh, slash it.
Look, I'm sorry. This really makes me angry. When our babies were born, we donated fetal blood. We donated umbilical cords because they can be used in tendon reconstruction and things like that. Placenta for fetal blood. That's because and those are body parts. Those are baby body parts. They just don't happen to be attached to the baby anymore or the mother. But the point is that we can't research and progress to save people's lives, especially women and babies, unless we have material on which to work with.
And they were not getting a profit out of it.
Do you know one of the first people to buy aborted fetuses? Or asked for donation. They never exchanged money for them. It was Jonas Salk to do the polio vaccine because he couldn't do the polio vaccine on living children. So he used fetal tissue. I mean, this stuff has been used for over 60 or nearly 70 years. Mm. So please, people, if you're going to talk about Planned Parenthood, get your fucking facts straight. A woman's right to choose is a woman's right to choose. Do not have an opinion about women's rights, unless you're a woman, frankly. Now, there are assholes like this guy from Oklahoma, James Lankford, who says, it's a man's issue. I contributed to my daughter's birth. Yeah. 9 months before, you had 3 seconds of bliss, and that was your contribution. So you do not get an opinion, okay?
Well, you brought in a clip.
I do. I have a couple of clips, and these just made me...
Why don't you go with a good one first?
Well, they made me angry. I wasn't going to play any of them because they made me so angry.
Well, go with Liz.
I have a wife and 3 daughters.
I know.
Right? And you have a daughter and a wife.
I know. And we both... They don't
feel very strongly that there are women's things. You know, if men got cervical cancer, if men needed abortions, if men needed sanitary products, they'd be free on every street corner. What gives men the right to? And they talk about Sharia law and things. What gives men the right to lord it over women? Mm. In any fashion. Now, I've got a couple of clips here. I've got the great Elizabeth Warren talking about Planned Parenthood and helping put down the defunding bill. I mean, an institution nearly 100 years old, we're going to defund it because of some bogus videos. That's just wrong.
Yes, it is. Hey, so you want to hear Liz?
Let's listen to Liz.
Okay.
Who always tells it like it is.
We love Liz Warren on this program, and here she is on the bill to defund Planned Parenthood.
What year it is? Did you fall down, hit your head, and think you woke up in the 1950s or the 1890s? Should we call for a doctor? Because I simply cannot believe that in the year 2015, the United States Senate would be spending its time trying to defund women's health care centers. You know, on second thought, maybe I shouldn't be that surprised. The Republicans have had a plan for years to strip away women's rights to make choices over our own bodies. Just look at the recent facts. In 2013, Republicans threatened to shut down the government unless they could change the law to let employers deny women access to birth control. In March of this year, Republicans held up a non-controversial bipartisan bill to stop human trafficking. Why? Because they demanded new anti-abortion restrictions to cover private funding meant to help the victims of human trafficking. In June, House Republicans passed a budget eliminating funding for the Title X Family Planning Program, the only federal grant program that provides birth control, HIV tests, STD screening, and other preventive services for poor and uninsured people. Over the past few years, Republicans have voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act more than 50 times, including the portions that require insurers to cover contraception.
Go.
Now, yes, Ms. Warren tells it like it is. She's just terrific. Now, you know the issue, young William, was
yeah.
they brought out these ridiculous videos of people having lunch and talking about what to do with the fetal material.
I mean, they were very hard to watch, but yeah. you know something? What no one said is the fact that when they were asking, when they were talking money, they were talking not about a profit situation. They were talking about to transport and prepare these specimens for the doctors to take, they charge a fee.
X amount.
They don't make a profit off of it.
It's like preparing a cadaver. My father used to have to use cadavers because he was an anatomy professor.
Absolutely.
You know, people who donated their bodies to science. Anyway, Morning Joe, your friend Joe.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
He's such a...
This...
Shit.
No, don't say the word because you'll have to use the clown horn.
Well, no, fuck the clown horn. He's a shithead.
Yeah, no, he's the C-bomb. This guy goes on with a woman sitting there with him, and she's trying so desperately not to say, shut up, you fuck.
Yeah.
his sidekick. Going on about these videos like as if somebody had just shown, you know, the top of JFK's head being blown off in slow-mo
or
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what I'd like to do is play a little clip of this just to show you how this sanctimonious shit helped fan the flames of these anti-women's rights people.
Morning Joe program. Here he is, Joe Scarborough. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him.
The Archbishop of Chicago said, have we so muted the humanity of the unborn child that some consider it acceptable to speak freely of crushing a child's skull to preserve valuable body parts? Was that acceptable in 1890 or 1950? The commerce of body parts, the Archbishop says, of defenseless unborn children is callously discussed over lunch. A woman who spoke yesterday on the Senate floor talks about a sheer disdain for human dignity and a complete disregard for women and their babies. And there are pro-choice people who believe fervently in the right of a woman to choose, who are equally repulsed, disgusted by those videos, and more videos are coming out, and they will be worse.
They're really bad.
They will be worse. And for Elizabeth Warren to try to conflate the right of a woman to choose with the horrors and the callousness and the grotesqueness of what was discussed over lunch is really unfortunate. There are troubling things on those tapes, and everybody needs to open their eyes and see that instead of reflexively talking about right-wing attacks on a woman's right to choose. Please stop insulting our intelligence, Elizabeth Warren. Stop.
The reason they call it a right-wing attack, Joe, is because it was a right-wing attack. You had people go into a situation posing at people they weren't. They took the raw footage and they cut it together to make it sound and see the vision to be as awful as possible. They were talking about corpses, folks, and they're not even human corpses because a fetus is not a fucking person. All right? I am so sick to death of these guys literally putting together this grand guignol show to excite their base. And then when we sit there and point the fact that it is a put-up job, of which it is, Randall,
mm-hmm.
And then we have to sit there and say, well, why are you calling it a right-wing put-up job? Because it is a right-wing put-up job. You guys are like a dog with a bone on Planned Parenthood. You've had a hair across your ass about Planned Parenthood for the last fucking 10 years.
More.
And Randy is absolutely right. For 10 fucking years, you guys will do anything. You will say anything. You will do anything to seize control of a woman's vagina. That's what you're about.
Or her
so
uterus.
So fuck off.
Her uterus. Let's put it straight.
Seriously.
Yeah. These guys are absolute dicks. Now, it's even worse because we've got this Republican senator from Oklahoma.
Oh, Christ.
Let's have a listen to him and how Barbara Boxer, a Democrat from California, puts him in his place. Now, this would have been a follow-up to Elizabeth Warren's speech earlier.
Okay, this is James Langford?
Langford, yeah.
Okay, from Oklahoma. This is what James had to say, and we'll follow it up with Barbara Boxer. Here you go.
We just think it's extremely important in this incredibly divisive issue of abortion that we treat this seriously as a nation. And what has happened in the last couple of weeks with the Planned Parenthood videos coming out is for the first time in a long time, this is not an invisible thing that's happening somewhere in secret. Now it is something that's actually happening where people can see it. And I think our culture for the first time in a while is having to slow down and deal with the reality of, is it possible that this culture has been wrong, that really is a child? We think it's entirely reasonable to say, let's take the funding that has been committed to Planned Parenthood, who is the single largest abortion provider in the country. 40% of their revenue comes from the federal taxpayer. 40% for the single largest provider of abortion in the country to stop and to say, let's take that funding, let's commit it to organizations that do full women's health, mammograms, testing, contraceptives, the works.
Now that, Mr. Langford, is so far off the planet.
Yeah. If
they are not the largest supplier of abortion services in America. That is 3%. Of their business. Yes, 40% of their funding comes from it. But since 1921, they've been the major provider of all women's health in America, including mammograms, including contraception, including testing and treatment for STDs. All of the things that he said he wanted to have are already there with Planned Parenthood, with nearly 100 years of experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Planned Parenthood became officially known as Planned Parenthood in 1933. With the swearing-in of FDR, but it had been going for over 10 years before that. It is an amazing organization with an amazing history.
And from 30% of their profits down to 3%. What bothers me, Randall, is that these guys lie so easily.
No.
It just falls out of their fucking mouth.
Yeah,
like a turd. Bang. Mm-hmm. You know, and no one sits there and goes, hey, that's wrong.
Yeah, now they're calling it an abortion empire. 3%.
It's fucking bullshit. It's just 3%. Bullshit, really, seriously. Yeah. And you also had this little
clip from, well, Barbara Boxer stood up and immediately followed him on the Senate floor. Barbara Boxer, Democrat from California, with these comments.
Okay.
You know, I gave birth to two premature kids, and I just don't like lectures by men about what it's like. And thank God they made it. I'm pro-choice. And I just have to say, using pregnancy as a political football doesn't sit well with the people I represent and the people of this country. We have to respect one another. I respect your view entirely. I'm asking you to respect mine. Keep Uncle Sam out of my private life and my children's and my grandkids and yours. Families will make these decisions with their God, with their doctor. And 97% of the work Planned Parenthood does has nothing to do with abortion. It's primary health care. And may I put my entire statement in the record on that point?
Without objection.
And do you know, I have to say, in 2011, Republicans threatened to shut down the government if Planned Parenthood wasn't defunded. And I heard my friend from Washington, Patty Murray, say they were serious. Going to shut down the government? To deny health care to 2.7 million women and men every year? Some of them, basic health care? I'll show you a particular person here. This is Doreen from California. I went to Planned Parenthood and I talked to the clinician. She gave me a referral to a breast care center where I had a mammogram and a biopsy, was ultimately diagnosed with breast cancer. I was scheduled for a lumpectomy in 2 weeks. That woman could have died. And you say go to community health care centers? First of all, I find it ironic because they were set up in Obamacare and all of you voted no on Obamacare. We expanded community health care centers. I asked unanimous consent to place in the record a community health care center in California, Mr. President, who says they cannot take any more patients. They cannot take that 700,000 patients. So they say to the women, go to community health care centers. They voted against Obamacare, expanded the community health care centers, and the community health care centers are saying, no, we're sorry. We can't do it. Planned Parenthood does a great job. So this is a continuation of the Republican war on women, and I hope we'll defeat this ill-considered bill that's about to come our way. Thank you.
And thankfully, the bill was defeated to defund Planned Parenthood. And she's absolutely right. 97% of their business has nothing whatsoever to do with the termination of unwanted or dangerous pregnancies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That is something that, and you know what you realize is that they never stop.
No.
They never stop.
It is
guys.
A war on women. And their front of attack is through their uterus. And it's wrong.
It is wrong. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
But you know.
Isn't that a rare moment, ladies and gentlemen?
That you and I agree.
Mark your calendar. William and I agree. Oh, now, let's have a lighter note because I'm feeling so down.
We agree.
All the time.
I'll tell you,
we're the loudest two fat lefties on the planet.
That's right.
Let's have a lighter note because I'm feeling really down.
Okay, the lighter note basically is that it's not really a lighter note because it's the final show that Jon Stewart did.
Oh, yeah.
But he did a wonderful last kind of speech to all of his fans on how to detect bullshit. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, let's hear it.
And here it is. And then we'll go straight into our tinfoil hats for show 126.
Anyway, about the debates. No, I don't have anything for you. We've seen the correspondents. We've met everyone who works here. And now I feel like I should probably say something. So maybe one last time. Maybe a little camera three. Bullshit is everywhere. Are the kids still in here? We'll deal with that later. Bullshit is everywhere. There is very little that you will encounter in life that has not been in some ways infused with bullshit. Not all of it bad. Your general day-to-day organic free-range bullshit is often necessary. Or at the very least, innocuous. Oh, what a beautiful baby. I'm sure he'll grow into that head. That kind of bullshit in many ways provides important social contract fertilizer. It keeps people from making each other cry all day. But then there's the more pernicious bullshit, your premeditated institutional bullshit designed to obscure and distract. Designed by whom? The bullshitocracy. Comes in three basic flavors. One, making bad things sound like good things. Organic, all-natural cupcakes. Because factory-made sugar oatmeal balls doesn't sell. Patriot Act. Because are you scared enough to let me look at all your phone records, Act? Doesn't sell. So whenever something's been titled Freedom, Family, Fairness, Health, America, take a good long sniff. Chances are it's been manufactured in a facility that may contain traces of bullshit. Number two. The second way, hiding the bad things under mountains of bullshit. Complexity. You know, I would love to download Drizzy's latest Meek Mill diss. Everyone promised me that that made sense. But I'm not really interested right now in reading Tolstoy's iTunes agreement. So I'll just click agree, even if it grants Apple prima nocte with my spouse. Here's another one. Simply put, banks shouldn't be able to bet your pension money on red. Bullshitly put, it's, hey, this. Dodd-Frank. Hey, a handful of billionaires can't buy our elections, right? Of course not. They can only pour unlimited anonymous cash into a 501c4 if 50% is devoted to issue education. Otherwise, they'd have to 501c6 it or funnel it openly through a non-campaign coordinating super PAC with a quarter. I think they're asleep now. We can sneak out. And finally, it's the bullshit of infinite possibility. These bullshitters cover their unwillingness to act under the guise of unending inquiry. We can't do anything because we don't yet know everything. We cannot take action on climate change until everyone in the world agrees gay marriage vaccines won't cause our children to marry goats who are gonna come for our guns. Until then, I say teach the controversy. Now, the good news is this. Bullshitters have gotten pretty lazy, and their work is easily detected. And looking for it is kind of a pleasant way to pass the time. Like an I spy of bullshit. So I say to you tonight, friends, the best defense against bullshit is vigilance. So if you smell something, say something. We'll be right back.
Tune again, folks. It's the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads.
And we love Alfoil.
It's our tinfoil hat segment today, which is kind of redundant, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Because the whole thing is kind of like a tinfoil hat because we did the Republican.
Well, I mean, I don't even take mine off anymore. The voices.
Oh. Yes, your wife has commented on this. Well, you got to bet it. I take it off.
That's when I need it most.
Okay, we're going to leave that to you. By the way,
Will.
This is the one tinfoil hat that I could not give up. Now,
I've decided not to do one just because I can't top this.
You can't top this. When, remember the lion that died?
Oh, the poor dentist. Cecil the lion, who was killed by a poor dentist, who had killed rhinos and elephants and giraffes. And it turns out that there's just a major thing with Americans flying to Africa to shoot animals, most of which are farmed and released for shooting Americans.
This guy, it's actually
a Teddy Roosevelt thing. They've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt was a dick, too. Look, seriously, when it comes to that, anybody for me, after listening to that lion story, anybody who takes
Cecil
time out of their fucking busy schedule to go to a foreign country with a gun and shoot a fucking animal.
No. I got in defense of the dentist.
Oh,
he
shot
Cecil with an arrow
and let him,
and then tracked him for 40 hours as he bled to death. Mm. And then shot him with a gun. Now, you've got to get your facts straight, Bill.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and, you know, of course, he's out of business now.
Good.
Totally.
Fuck him. And I tell you, when I was thinking to myself, and this is really my thought processes for this, is that is there anybody else who would run out of his way to fucking shoot somebody? And I actually had this conversation. I said there, let me tell you something. If there is somebody, I bet there's somebody in the Congress or in the Senate who has done this. And I really did. I went out looking. And sure enough, I said two things. A, I'll bet you he's a Christer. And B, I'll bet you he's a Republican. And you know something, Randy?
He's a Christer and he's a Republican.
I would have given it all.
Oh, you led me in there. The laughing clowns with the heads that go back and forth. They were all laughing for you.
There's a channel for congressmen. And they do kind of get to know the congressman things. And I want to introduce you to an absolute douchebag.
Oh, okay.
he is a real douchebag.
A Republican Christer.
okay, it's a guy named Paul Brown. He's a Tea Party guy.
Well, of course.
And he's a guy that said...
Full listen, strength with
he's
lemon.
A guy that said recently, he said that the theory of evolution was a theory straight from the pit of hell. So we're talking a cranial.
Straight
from the pit of hell was Darwin, okay? So here he is bragging about the lion that he fucking shot, stuffed, and put in his office in the Congress. Douchebag, ladies and gentlemen, number one, a Christer and a Republican and an asshole. Now, I'm not saying all Christers are assholes. I'm saying this Christer's an asshole. Here he is, Paul Brown, straight from the Senate to you.
When people walk through that door, it's almost universal. They walk in and they look and say, wow.
Booyala, booyala, mama, hey.
I started hunting as a child. In fact, some of the greatest memories of my dad was as a small child going out and shooting doves with him or going quail hunting. This is a doll sheep that came from the Brooks Range in northern Alaska. I hunted that animal a couple of years ago. It's one of the best eating wild game animals anywhere in the world. I've eaten everything that's in here. This lion came from Zimbabwe. After eating this animal, the natives called me Boss Mashumba, which means boss lion. They'd never seen a guy come and actually eat a lion. It's not very good. But it's part of my hunting ethic. If I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to eat it. Then this is a Kodiak brown bear that came from Kodiak Island, Alaska. On the far left, lower row is an eland that came from Zimbabwe. Then a Cape buffalo came from Botswana. Hunting is what started my political activism. And it's actually what led me into looking at the history of our nation. I'm an original intent constitutionalist. In fact, I carry a copy in my pocket at all times. And I believe in this document as it was intended by our founding fathers. So it was Second Amendment and hunting that started the process of my understanding what the Constitution's all about and what we have lost in the way of freedom. And I'm here to try to restore it.
Yes, Randall, the Constitution of the United States told me that I could just kick the shit out of any wildlife I like.
What a dumb fuck. If I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to kill it. Yes, that's okay. They didn't, your dentist friend from Minneapolis didn't eat the lion.
Yeah.
But you can eat lion, you can buy lion meat online in America. It's like $200 a kilo.
Yeah.
From farmed lions in America. They grow them and farm them and you eat them.
You don't farm them, you shoot them. And they are endangered species. No.
They farm lions in America for you to eat.
Why?
Because there's a market for it.
Hamburger isn't that good enough for you.
No, lion burger, bison burger, anything you want, they have. Exotic meats.
You're just getting me angry here.
I'm sorry. You're just getting me angry.
Listen.
But there's something about Americans going to Africa. They have direct flights with Delta and American Airlines and all that sort of stuff from people that go to, who have now come out and said, we won't carry your trophies home anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? But before that, they were quite happy to. Whole rhinos and everything.
Oh, Christ. Okay. Well, listen, if you're like me and you think Paul Brown should stop shooting animals...
And stop eating them.
And stop eating them because, quite frankly, my cats are very upset. And they're here in Australia. In fact, any wildlife should be very upset anywhere around this guy. This guy has an email address at the Capitol. And here it is. Yes, that number again, ladies and gentlemen, is
area code 706-369-9039.
Or write him and make it friendly, but tell him to stop killing animals.
Yeah.
Which is, Randy?
Is Paul at paulbrown.com.
That's right. So if you want Paul to stop killing other members of the wild kingdom for his own amusement and taste buds, please send him a note.
Yeah, and any of his four ex-wives as well.
Four ex-wives who obviously love it.
You know he's a medical doctor, too.
Really?
How could a medical doctor be so heartless as well?
Four ex-wives. You know, if he spent more time with his wives, I'm just saying, Paul.
Which one?
Well, pick one. Yeah. it's a swap meet.
What are his interests? Family, hunting, and fishing. Well, he's done enough families, yeah. So it's now just hunting and fishing.
And eating any four-legged creature I happen to see from my window across the street.
He's a lifetime member of the NRA.
Yes, he's a lifetime member of the NRA.
And the only way to leave that is a flat on your back in a box.
What a guy. Paul Brown. He's our tinfoil hat, our number one tinfoil hat.
From the Republican 10th District of Georgia, not far east of Atlanta.
And we're going to bring him in, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's the Bill Show Cheer Squad. Yeah,
come for
the
on guy in, guys. That
knows how to treat animals, Paul Brown. Here he is. Post-cheer squad had just been here.
Now, Bill, can we go out with something I wanted to play?
Well, that's absolutely true. I have no problem with that. But first, we have to acknowledge the person who won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We actually had a winner.
We did.
We had a winner.
I sent an award over to a lovely woman from Great Falls, New York.
Great Falls, New York.
She said, so it was a lovely, lovely message. And I sent her a lovely, lovely thing. And if you did, Val, give us a email us to let you know that your little prize went. And next week, we're going to have another contest.
Yeah, we will, too.
Yeah, because I haven't had time because it's too much with the debates and everything like that.
Yeah.
But Great Falls, New York.
Let's hear it.
Cheer squad in here for a better reason.
Oh, they never left.
Give Val a big round of applause. Yeah. We love our listeners, and we hope that you love us, too.
And in the few minutes we have left to go, can I play a track?
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah. Go.
All right. What I think, and what many, many people think, is the greatest 3 minutes of television ever made.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm talking about the prologue of the Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom with Jeff Daniels. Now, when I say prologue, it played before the show even started. And people saw that, and it was just jaw-droppingly amazing.
And then the show was mediocre. But,
no,
you know.
I didn't think it was. I think that it ended really terribly because they were taken off the air and they had to wrap it up. But I just thought the first two seasons were riveting.
I thought the first season was interesting. And I thought the first show was, this opening is just dead
I'm a
on,
Republican,
right?
But I think the Republican Party sucks. And I'm going, wow.
Well, that's because you're sane.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is Jeff Daniels with the opening. And he's questioned by a girl at a seminar at a college. But we might lead off with the wonderful Thomas Newman's theme for The Newsroom, which I love anything that Thomas Newman does.
Okay.
So Six Feet Under. What are some of his other themes?
I don't know, but he's a fantastic
composer.
We love him. Yeah. So we start off with a little Newsroom theme and then a cut from The Newsroom, and then we're going to say goodnight.
Goodbye.
Okay, here it is from The Newsroom.
Why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in
infant mortality, third in median household income, number four in labor force, and number four in exports. We lead the world in only three categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
I have to tell you, whenever I hear that, I tear up.
Of course you tear up.
When I saw that the first time, I teared up. I thought, my God, somebody's finally saying what you want them to say.
Absolutely. And the thing is that listening to that track and then viewing, I mean, we, you know, you and I came from a generation that had the likes of, I mean, you
Morrow, Cronkite.
Cronkite. You had, you know, we had LBJ for all his faults.
What were the two guys? The two newsreaders, Chet Hundley and Brinkley. Hundley and Brinkley.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
No, but he's right. We don't have people that inform us anymore.
You have Megyn Kelly.
Oh, fuck.
You're fucking Megyn Kelly. And what I'm saying is that he's sitting there talking about a time when you had leaders with vision, not the fucking clown show.
And we did big things.
You know, I mean, it's an embarrassment. I'm sorry, it just is. I mean, we cover the debates and it's funny and everything like that. But did you ever look at it and go, what has happened to my country?
Yeah.
You know, the Republican Party was the party of Eisenhower, the party of Lincoln, the party, you know, and it's turned into this backwash of just almost. You just
and the
can't
Democrats,
stare at it
anymore. FDR, HST.
I know.
You know, these people were, and Kennedy, those people really had vision.
They had vision.
In 10 years, we will land on the moon.
And they did.
We couldn't even get into orbit.
Yeah, and they did.
And they did.
And the thing is that nowadays, a clown like Donald Trump is the top nominee for the party that nominated Dwight David Eisenhower. Get your mind around
who
that.
Who warned us about the military-industrial complex.
Anyway, just thought I'd cheer you up,
yeah,
America.
Yeah, let's wait till next week. Then we'll have some more fun.
Let's go.
Let's wave goodbye.
We love y'all, and we thank you for... The numbers have been great.
Yeah, people are listening to us. Can you believe that?
I thought it was just
you and me.
Well, no, we can't.
I thought we were just talking to ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening.
Yes, we love you.
Yeah, I'm sorry Bill's sounding a bit croaky.
I know.
Croaky, but
wouldn't
that's
miss
okay.
This, though.
No, we just got to do it.
If you want to see us at all the, by the way, a couple of new places picked us up. It's great. The BillShow.net, the home for everything Bill Show. We got new videos on there almost every week.
And we've even got a Facebook page if you want to put up stuff yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, Great Falls, New York. All right, listen, we're going to see
Lesser Falls, which is just south. I'd imagine.
It's like Great Falls and Mediocre Falls.
Yeah, well, that's the,
like the not the too great.
The imaginative place names of America.
Anyway, we're from Melbourne, Australia, and we're waving all of you because we all love you. Take care, America.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.